Hello. Good evening. Broadcasting live November 15th, 2015. Whoever is easy to speak to because of respecting, revering, and honoring the Dhamma, his speech is gracious, and I call him easy to speak to. Kato bhikkhu tava deva sorata sorato hoti.
What was that, Bhante? Was that the call?
Gentle, kind, humble. Soracha. Soracha means humility. Soracha is an interesting word. It's one we don't hear about often enough. But there are two, the Buddha said there are two dhammas that make one beautiful. Kanti and Soracha. Tamma ti tam hai ngam. We learned this in first year Dhamma studies in Thailand. Tam ti mi upakara mak. The dhammas that are of great support. Sati kap sampajanya. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. Tam ti tam hai. No, that's not the first second one. Second one. Bukhon ti hadayak. People who are hard to find in the world. Pubakari, the one who does good deeds to others unprompted. So, who has done, who just does good deeds without having any reason to, means without being owed. Who does good deeds for others without being owed them. And katanyu katavedi, one who knows the good deeds that others have done and tries to pay them back. And then there's four. The third one. Tam ti pen lokaban. Tam ti kum krong lo. Ti dule. The dhammas that protect the world. Hiri kap otapa. Fear of, no, shame of wrongdoing and fear of the results of wrongdoing. And number four, tamma ti tam hai ngam. Kanti kap soracha. Kanti is patience. And soracha. Soracha means humility. Kwam sangyam, they call it. I don't really know what sangyam is, but that's how the Thai people translate it. Sangyam is kind of like meekness, I think. Gentility, being gentle. Sorata sorato hoti. Niwata niwato. Niwata is an interesting word. Vata means wind. Vata is like this wild. Vata is, it means wind. Niwata means having the wind out. Or having with wind removed, kind of thing. Like nibbana, being unbound. So niwata is unwinded. And what it means is not being puffed up. So it's humility. Without wind. It's funny that the Pali English Dictionary just says with the wind gone down. It doesn't make mention of the fact that it's often used to talk about a person as being without being all puffed, not being all puffed up. upasanto pasanto hoti. Upasanta means calm or at peace. Upa means gone to or fully, maybe. And santa comes from sam, which means to be quiet or peaceful. Santa, santi means peace. Upasanta is someone who has gone to peace, become peaceful. Such a person who is these things when yavanamana, no wait, they are touched, hoti, interesting. I think what he's saying is they're only these, some people are only this way when they're not touched. Yavana amana pa vachana patha pusanti. They're only this way in so long as they are not touched by speech that is undear, speech that is unendearing, so harsh speech. But yato cha bhikkhave bhikkhu gamana pa vachana patta pusanti. But when they are touched by that kind of speech, harsh speech, and then I don't get quite what's being said here, but I think it's basically that then they get fed up, and then I don't consider them to be easy to talk to, because sometimes you have to talk to people about things that they don't want to hear, and if they can't take it, then they're not easy to talk to. So being easy to talk to is important. It's in the Mangala Sutta, Suvacho. It's an important quality of a student. It's an important quality of a meditator, a practitioner. Right? So this is why when people accuse us or attack us, we have to remember their teaching and not react. Not get fed up. Is it me or am I blurry? Does my picture look blurry to you, Robin?
A little blurry.
Wake up.
Are you too far back?
It shouldn't be. Why can't it focus on me? Maybe it's because down here is not blurry and up here is blurry.
Maybe it's focusing on your mouth on the floor there or something, because that's closer.
Maybe it just... maybe it's just failing to do its job. Anatta. See now, this is the kind of thing you get angry about. You get angry, why is my stupid camera not working? But, and then you get angry at your camera. And if you do get angry at your camera, then that would be not understanding oneself.
But on the bright side, I think the audio is coming in well, as far as I can tell.
Well, your computers are a big... opportunity for us to test ourselves.
Oh yes.
Because it's easy to get frustrated.
Yes. They don't work well for 2 days in a row. There's always something. It's even worse when you can't really, you know, do much with your own computer, when you have to depend on other people. That's the worst.
So, questions?
Yes. What does it mean when you note, for example, rising? You mean is rising as a word or as a verb? Or you mean rising is happiness as a noun? Similar thing with feelings. When you note happy, does it refer to me as I am happy? It doesn't go with the non-self concept. Or to the feeling as there is now a happy feeling in me. So my question is, what is the meaning of the English labels used when noting? Could you please explain that? I meditate 20 to 40 minutes a day, but not on web. So answer, please. Thanks.
See, this, first of all, I want to address this doesn't go with the non-self concept thing. So probably shouldn't focus too much on that. But this is an example of this whole idea of not self, meaning there is no self. The Buddha didn't ever say there is a self, didn't give us any indication to believe that there is a self. He considered it wrong view to think that something exists from one moment to the next, that something continues on from one life to the next, that it's our spirit that is reborn. But he never said there is no self. When asked point blank, he refused to answer. And there's a reason for it, because it confuses you, and you get these kind of semantic problems where you say, I can't say I am happy, because that doesn't go with non-self. That's not understanding non-self. Non-self is when your camera doesn't focus on you and you get angry. You get angry because you don't understand that it's not self. It's not under your control. It doesn't belong to you. There is no sense of the universe working according to your command. That's just not the way the universe works. It doesn't mean that I don't exist. That's not what it means. It's not that we're denying that. It's not we're saying, I do exist. We're not saying that either. But you have to understand the context and the direction in which we're meant to understand non-self. If that sounds like I'm attacking you, I'm not. It's a very common misconception that we have to clear up, because it's not how we should be thinking. We shouldn't be thinking in terms of I exist, I don't exist. It's very confusing, because of course I exist. Look, here I exist. In ultimate reality, the question doesn't even make sense. The idea of self doesn't make sense. It doesn't have any place in our conversation about ultimate reality. I, not I. So when you say I am walking, well, it's just a conventional way of saying, well, this, it's not you walking, it's me walking. And how, I'm not just saying this myself, the Buddha himself said, gacchantova gacchamiti prajanati. When walking, one knows, I walk. Nisinomhi means, amhi means I am, it's a first person verb. Nisino, sat, basically. I am sat, which is how you'd say in Pali, I'm sitting. The Buddha used the word I. Nahang bhikkhave, not I don't bhikkhave, and da 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 da. Ahang bhikkhave, evang vadami, I say this. Anyway, that's not your question. But it does relate to the question in terms of words just being words. So it can be a verb, it can be a noun. That's not really the most important point here. We were just talking this morning, or no, at noon, or one, when we did the Visuddhimagga today, I was pointing this out, the use of the mantra, how ancient it is. It really is very much a part of the practice. And so it's important to use the mantra. It's something, it's not a new concept that we just thought of. It's not something that Mahasi Sayadaw thought of. It's what you get when you read the ancient texts. It's how they practiced. In the time of the Visuddhimagga, at least, which is over 1500 years old. So, but it's the actual mantra that you use is not so important. Whether it's a verb or a noun, for example. It has to relate, and it should relate quite closely to the experience. And that's all that's important. How close it relates and how related it is to reality. So if you say, I am walking, and you're focused on the I, well, that's a problem. But if you say, I am walking, well, yeah, that's me walking. I mean, it's, so it puts yourself on your feet, not someone else's feet. So you say, I am walking, that's useful. In English, it's not so useful because it makes a separate phrase, separate words. But in certain languages, I am walking is one word. Gacchami, I go. So then it makes perfect sense to use it. The Buddha used it, so can't criticize him. Glad to hear you're meditating every day, that's great. Yeah, Robin, I think you're echoing me. That's got to be on your end.
Okay.
So, I don't know what to say. Again, more noise now. So maybe turn your speakers down.
Okay.
If it's quiet, it shouldn't be a problem. It's too loud, problem.
I'll get a headset, I'll be right back.
What about the questions? We have no more questions. She's left me alone with all of you. Hello, everyone. Who do we have here today? We have someone named Amado, who is orange. We have someone called Amy, who is also orange. I don't know either of those people, I don't think. I don't know those names. Hemant sounds familiar. That's a Sri Lankan name. Joshua, I know. He visited here. He gave us some paint. Thanks for the paint, Joshua. But now that I'm out here, I'm not. I've lost the strong desire to paint my room. We'll have to see where that goes. Why? Because it's an ordeal to move all the computer stuff and the desk and everything. Matthew S., I don't know. Maybe I do, but doesn't ring a bell. Then we have a word that I can't pronounce. Quin? Kin? Shan? Wonder who that is. Tina, I think I know Tina. Hi, Tina. Ken Tab. Anna Figueroa. She's in our VCD MAGA class, right?
And in our volunteer group and coordinating right. The translations, the outstanding translations.
Right. She's a volunteer. Way to go, Anna.
Yes. Yes.
Aurora is an old meditator. She's going to Burma.
Wow.
She's going to Burma this month. I don't know if she wants me to tell everyone, but it's pretty awesome. She's going to Pandita Rama, so we can all say sadhu and anumodana to her.
Sadhu, Aurora. That's wonderful. Anumodana.
Fernando Aurora. Is one of our... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Aurora and Fernando are in our Visuddhimagga group.
Right.
Which has been around for... I think we've been around for about 9-10 months now. Quite a while.
And Fernando's in our group. He's also one of our weekly meditators. Kevin, I think. I don't know. First name... Patrick O. I probably know all these people. Someone named Robin? Who's that?
No idea.
Sounds like a Middle Eastern name, Robin. From Dubai or something. Shehan, he's from Sri Lanka. He's visited me several times. He'll be coming, he and his wife will be coming next weekend, I think. Simon, I think, is an old. Simon, he's been around for a while.
Simon is in Denmark, I think.
Oh, yeah, that Simon. He's been around for a while, I think.
Yes.
Tim and Wayne, those are our two. There are two, what do you call? High level, how do you say, the higher up senior meditators. Senior because they're old.
Tim's been around from the very beginning.
Tim and Wayne are awesome. I got them right? Wayne and that's Tim is the other one? No. Wayne and Tim, yeah. I think it's Tim and Wayne. They meet one after the other, so I get to talk to the both of them. not doing very well. And there's that Yuddha Dhammo guy. What a freak. And I got Michael. Don't know Michael. Do I know Michael? Ruslan, don't know that. But Ruslan's been here for a while, I think. Asks questions. Sabaidi is one of my meditators. Can't remember which month that's. Is that Samantha? No.
No, Sabadi is in Thailand, I believe.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. New Zealand.
Who's Sabaidi? Can't remember, but I think I just talked to them this morning or yesterday. I thought it was Samantha.
No, Sabadi, I believe, is a woman and from New Zealand.
Yeah, Sashika, sorry. I'm confusing the two. Oh, so I didn't talk to Samantha. I'm sorry. I talked to Sashika. Confusing the two. Oh, Samantha is also on our list?
Yes, she...
I think I've missed her twice now.
Yes, she signed up for a meeting spot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they came to get me earlier than I expected, because we had to be in Toronto by 10. But, you know, they got me really early, so I ended up leaving before. And then I forgot. Yeah, sorry, Sashika, I confused you with Samantha, two Sri Lankan, foreign Sri Lankan nationals. Sri Lankan born people. Yeah, I knew who you were, I just, yeah, confused.
Yeah. The names, you know, the names and the faces, trying to keep track of who's who.
And Roshanti is Shehan's wife. So they too will be coming next weekend, I think, or maybe the weekend after.
Very nice.
There you go. Spotlight on meditators.
Sabadi is Sashika. She clarified in chat.
Got mixed up.
I think we have a question.
Right.
One day, lately I've been doing meditation for about 2 to 3 days a week.
Wait. You missed Ruslan's question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, Ruslan. Are monks mostly at least Sotapanna plus level? I'm asking because it seems that keeping 8 or more precepts would be really hard otherwise.
Mm. Well, it's easier when you're in a monastery, when you're off in the forest. I mean, when you're living on a straw mat in the forest, it's not that hard to keep 8 precepts. It's easier. But no, you don't have to be. I mean, that's what you're striving for. And yeah, if you never get to that level, it can be really difficult. I mean, even a Sotapanna can still have attachment desires for those things. But that's why you have to keep training. But don't put monks up on too high a pedestal. You'll be disappointed otherwise. You'll be disappointed if you do.
And also they're not supposed to talk about that, right? So it's not like a layperson can go up and ask a monk if they're a Sotapanna.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something you should really worry about. Look at your own practice. Do the teachings work? If they do. Someone recently contacted me and point blank asked me, and they're afraid to take me as a teacher unless I let them know, you know, I'm this, I'm that. I said, we're not allowed to. But she made a good point that she's had teachers who have, one of her teachers told her that she has to find someone and make sure that they are realized. Because in Hinduism, they're very keen to tell you how realized they are. And I think in Mahayana as well, some Mahayana schools, it's very important to talk about it. Even Theravada, a lot of people like to talk about how their teachers were enlightened. It's a big deal. But it's really not proper. It's not the way we should be doing things. It's not what we should be focused on. We should be focused on the teachings. Do they work? Because that question you have to and you can answer yourself. That's a much more pertinent question. Do the teachings work? And then you know, if you ask that question, then you know what you have to do. If I tell you, yes, my teacher's an arahant, go practice with him. What good does that do to you? And you know, every person says that about their teacher. And so many people get it wrong.
Bhante, lately I've been doing meditation for about 2 to 3 days a week. How many days of consistent daily meditation should I do before I set up a formal meditation course with Bhante?
7 days. We've done it for a week, then we can meet. Problem is now we're all full.
Yes.
So you may have to wait till January when I add more. It's looking good for adding 28 more slots for January, which is awesome, you know? Imagine, then I'm meeting with 56 people a week. 56 different people doing courses. I mean, they're not hardcore courses, so it's not as great as awesome as people coming and doing an intensive course, because that's tough. But on the other hand, it's great.
Well, the other side of it is, you know, doesn't it happen sometimes that people go and do an intensive course and everything is great while they're there, but then they go back to their life and, you know, they don't continue with it. And here are people that are finding time to meditate consistently in their daily life, so maybe.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, we believe that for many people, the course changes them.
Mm.
I'm not sure that this course will be as life-changing. It won't be. Because especially we're not going to the end. It won't be as life-changing, I don't think.
Unless people decide to take the online course to another level and come and do in-person meditation as well.
Yeah, and it's a good prep for that, I think.
Yeah.
Not a complete prep, because it's a big wake-up call to come and realize, oh, you have to do 8 or 10 or 12 hours a day as opposed to 2.
But they've had a little bit of, you know, experience with having the reporting session, talking to you, knowing what the, you know, how the steps go. And
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of, the point was a lot of people have been meditating for a long time without going through the steps, which is a shame, because then they think, well, this is it. It's just kind of a simple little technique. Now they say, oh, it's a bit of a mental game or mind training. Quite involved.
Always something new. Sometimes a thought wondering how long I've been with. Sorry, sometimes a thought wondering how long I've been meditating and how long I have left comes to me, and it causes me to be restless and makes it harder to continue. Is there anything I can do beyond noting it and letting it pass?
Well, you should note the aspects of it. It is a conglomerate of things. There's the thought, and then there's the reason for the thought. Usually it's nagging because you're bored. You're adverse to meditating longer. You want to do something else more, that kind of thing. There's often some reason for it. If there's not, if it's just a simple thought, then it would be innocuous. Probably wouldn't be asking me about it. For the most part, these feelings come up when they are persistent. And they're persistent because we really want to stop. We don't want to continue meditating. I wouldn't say it causes you restless. I would suggest that probably the thought comes up, the wondering comes up, because you're already adverse to meditating. So you have to find that emotion, disliking or wanting or whatever it is, boredom, and note it as well. The thought as well, the emotion as well, and the experiences. If you feel pain or if you feel, you know, some physical discomfort that's causing it, then you have to note that as well.
A friend of mine said Buddhists believe in monism, or that we all are one. He said the Dalai Lama said this as well as an academic. I said it might be in my Mahayana belief, but I have not come across this in Theravada, although all beings are composed of the same thing, aggregates. I said it as view. Have you heard this?
Yeah, I mean, many Mahayana teachers seem to believe that. It's a very Hindu concept. We are one. It's not a very Buddhist concept. I don't think even the Mahayana, deep Mahayana teaches monism. Advaita, they would call it in Hinduism. Advaita means non-dualism. But, no wait, non-dualism, that's something else. Yeah, I don't know. In Hinduism there is the sense of oneness of everything. It's very much, I am God, you are God. The difference is, I know it, you don't. That's the kind of thing they teach. We don't teach that. We're not all one, we're not all God. But yes, I think you did a service to Buddhism by stating the truth. We are made of the same stuff. We're made of one kind of stuff. Experience. There's no room for that one thing to exist. It's not a part of the framework of reality. Reality is experiences arising and ceasing. Each experience is one. So two different experiences aren't even one anymore. It's just a view, you're right, it's just a view, it's just a belief. And it's meaningless in terms of reality. It says nothing about ultimate reality. We all caught up?
I think we're all caught up on questions, Bhante.
All right. That's all then. If you have more questions, come back tomorrow. Tomorrow, probably have a Dhammapada. No, tomorrow I have to skip again. Tomorrow there's an interfaith coffee house at 8 p.m. And I promised the Muslim Students Association that I'd go. So we'll see how that goes. I think I have 5 to 7 minutes to present. It's getting shorter and shorter. On Saturday yesterday I had to present in 20 minutes and I thought that was short. What am I going to say in 5 to 7 minutes? I don't know.
Well, that sounds important, so...
Yeah, so tomorrow I skip. Guess. And that we skip two Dhammapadas in a row.
And this is the good one. You've been telling us that this is one of the most well-known Dhammapadas, mm-hmm. and it's been put up twice
that,
now.
It's interesting. It's not actually that deep, and the teachings are not actually that profound, but it's an interesting story, and it's a well-known one. So
we'll shoot for Wednesday?
We will.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bhante.
Thanks, Robin. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Have a good night.
Good night, all.